Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And help us to walk in the light of your word, moment by moment. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that when we know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it is well with our souls. For this we give you thanks tonight. As we get closer and closer to your coming, or to your calling to come home, we're thankful for all that you have done in our behalf and pray that we'll be faithful until death and may receive that crown of life. Now speak to our hearts concerning your self-revealed name of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals physically, emotionally or mentally and spiritually. So speak to our hearts tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our message last Sunday, we looked at the historical context of this name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. And we also looked at Jehovah healing in the Old Testament days. And we look today at Jesus' ministry as Jehovah saves during his life upon earth. By how many people he healed and ministered to. And then we want to look at a faith healing today. What is genuine and what is false? What does the Word of God say about faith healing today? So let's look first of all tonight at Jesus the healer in the New Testament. Jehovah Rapha, who heals in the Old Testament, is the Jesus who heals in the New Testament. We know that Jesus is the Jehoshua, the Jehovah who saves. Jesus began his ministry in the town or city of Nazareth. And on one occasion at the beginning of his ministry, he spoke in the synagogue. And he quoted from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And we find this recorded in Luke's gospel. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus said to the congregation, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." There is mental healing. "To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, we read, "And Jesus went about all Galilee," notice, "teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." I believe he shows his ministry in the proper order. First of all, he teaches the word and preaches the word, and then he heals all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus cited these miracles of healing as proof of his identity as and mission as the Messiah. When John the Baptist was in prison, he began to doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. And he sent two of his disciples to Jesus, and they asked Jesus this question, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Matthew 11, verse 3. I guess we can get a little comfort that if John the Baptist had some doubts sometimes, yes, we face doubts, but we know where those doubts come from. The enemy seeks to discourage, especially when you're facing being beheaded by the king. Jesus replied in verses 4 and 5 of Matthew chapter 11, "Go and show John again these things, which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus, by sharing with them what his ministry was, gave evidence that he was indeed the promised Messiah. Jesus said again in John chapter 5, verse 36, "The works which the Father giveth me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." John stresses in his gospel that Jesus' miracles were signs, that is, signs that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior of the world. And these signs that Jesus performed, including healing the sick and raising the dead, were parables of the physical realm of what he had come to do in the spiritual realm. And in John chapter 20, we find John summing up in the next to the last chapter of John concerning Jesus. And he says in verses 30 and 31, "And many other signs." Notice what Jesus did. They were signs. These were sign gifts to prove that he was whom he claimed to be, the Son of God and the long-promised Messiah. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these signs that are written," and notice the purpose clause, "in order that ye might believe that Jesus is the Messiah." That's what the word Christ means. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And a second purpose, "in order that believing ye might have life through his name." So these sign gifts that Jesus performed, as well as his disciples, especially the 12 apostles, but also the 70 disciples, they all prove that Jesus was the Son of God and that salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house." Jesus said this miracle that he was performing in healing this crippled man was a sign of the fact that he was and is the Son of God and hath power on earth to forgive sins. What Jesus did ultimately pointed back to whom he was as the Savior from sin. Now, we have seen in the Old Testament that there were three types of healing that Jehovah Rapha did. And this is true of Jesus, who is the Jehovah Rapha of the New Testament. Jesus healed physically, but his physical healing was only incidental to his chief ministry, and that was healing the souls of men, the spiritual healing that he came to give. Every one of his physical healings was just a sign of the fact that he was and is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior from sin. Jesus healed emotionally also and mentally. He healed the brokenhearted. And Isaiah said when the Messiah came, he would heal the brokenhearted. And thank God for when you're brokenhearted, you really appreciate the fact you have a Lord and Savior, a Jehovah who not only saves, but ministers to you through those difficult times. You know, sometimes people, I think, try to be real spiritual and think you shouldn't grieve. The Bible doesn't say don't grieve. It says we have a hopeful grief, but we're not to grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve, but it's a hopeful grief because we know that when the rapture comes and the dead in Christ are rise from the grave, the Lord raises them from the grave and reunites them with their spirits and souls that have gone to be with the Lord. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to see our loved ones again. And I'm looking forward to that, being able to see Lou and Miriam again. What a blessing that will be. I know it won't be the same relationship, and that sometimes is hard to vision, but thank the Lord, it's going to be better, because everything the Lord does is better. He has saved us from the guilt and penalty of sin. He is saving us from the power of sin. But won't it be wonderful when we're saved from the very presence of sin? And I'm looking forward to getting that new body. This one wearing out. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, we read concerning Jesus, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases. Now, I want to assure you, divers doesn't mean diving in the water. various diseases. He healed not just one kind of disease. He healed all kinds of diseases. Various diseases. And torments. Speaking of spiritual battles. And those which were lunatic. That was interesting. I hadn't really looked up that word before that I could remember, because lunatic actually means moonstruck. Well, it's taken from a Greek word which means moonstruck. But it refers to the belief that the people had in Jesus' day that the person who had epilepsy or had seizures was moonstruck, that it would happen at different signs of the moon. And so it's not about talking to somebody that's insane, but a person who has a physical illness that affects them with seizures from time to time. I know I have a grandson, Aaron, who is an epileptic. He keeps it under control with medication, thank the Lord. But he has a good mind. He's working on his PhD in biomedicine, so he's got to have a good mind. But if he weren't on the medication that he's taking for this illness, he wouldn't be able to drive or probably work. But his always hit him at night, not during the daytime. So lunatic here means those who had leprosy or seizures. And those that had the palsy, that is, they were crippled up. And he healed them. He could heal any disease. So Jesus healed physically. He healed emotionally or mentally. But also he also healed spiritually. That was his main mission, was to seek and to save those who are lost. He cast out demons, as we know. He healed the sin sick. He said in Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now these charismatics who say you don't need to go to the physician, you got to just have faith. Well, Jesus said, if you're sick, you need a physician. And they're not always, some of them are still practicing. They haven't learned yet. But but anyway, thank the Lord for those who help. Because I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone to the physician when I had a gallbladder attack. And I didn't know I had a gallbladder problem back a few years ago. And I was running a fever, and the surgeon, John Carey, put me in the hospital right away and got me on antibiotics. And when they got in the next day to operate, found out gangrene had already set in. You don't live long with that. So I was thankful for that physician who got rid of that gallbladder that I had. Thank the Lord. They that are sick need a physician. And he was the great physician. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Now, he commissioned the 12 apostles and the 70 disciples. Let's look at those just a moment. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus commissioned the 12 apostles. Matthew chapter 10. And reading verses 1 and 7 and 8. Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power or authority against unclean spirits, that is demons, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, and freely give. That was his command or the commission that he made to the 12 apostles. And then in Luke chapter 10, we have his commissioning of the 70, whom he sent out two by two to go before him and prepare the way before him in his ministry. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, request therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So we see that not only did Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead, but he also gave that authority to the apostles and somewhat also to the 70 that went out two by two. Nathan J. Stone, one of the writers of a book on the names of God, the names of Jehovah, he says in his book, then the Lord Jesus consummated his ministry by becoming that tree which made the bitter pools of human existence waters of life and healing and sweetness. Like that illustration or that sign there at Marah of turning the bitter water into sweet water by casting the tree into the water. When Jesus hung upon the tree, he changed the bitter waters of humanity, sinful men, into the sweet waters of salvation and life eternal. Jesus said to the woman at Sychar in John chapter 4 and verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I, whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the sweet water that Jesus provides through the cross of Calvary. The sweet water of everlasting life. And then in 1 Peter 2:24 we read, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then you have a purpose clause. In order that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye, notice the tense, aorist tense, past tense, completed action in the past, ye were healed. So there was a past healing that took place in the lives of the believers that Peter writes to concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye were healed. Then in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we have John talking about the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the place where Jesus is going to take us for 7 years when he comes at the rapture. And John writes, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Water is so important in the Word of God, isn't it? And so pictures the water of life. Here, it's a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, that is, in the midst of the street of the New Jerusalem, and on either side of the river, that is, the river of life, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Isn't it wonderful? He that can heal individuals can also heal a nation. Shouldn't that cause us to cry out to the Lord for our nation today? We are in such a mess. We are forgetting the God who has blessed America. We don't have to ask him to bless him. He already has. Now he's judging us because of our turning our back on him. But oh, how we need to realize he can heal our nation. And when back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles where it talks about revival. It talks about healing the land of nations. So Jehovah Rapha heals. He heals physically, mentally, and spiritually. Now the final invitation of the Bible is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And notice what it says. Let him that is athirst come. Come to the sweet water. Come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Isn't that wonderful? It's free. We just have to come, but we have to drink of that water of life. The cross of Christ has been cast by Jehovah Rapha into the bitter sea of humanity and has brought forth the sweet water of life. Now, let's move on to our fourth point in the two sermons, and that has to do with something practical. What does all this mean to us today? What about biblical healing today? What does the Word of God have to say? What is biblical and what is not biblical? Many a story of God's healing can be told today. Our Heavenly Father cares about His children. He doesn't willingly afflict us. Many times He has to afflict us, give us a little whipping to get us back in shape again. He disciplines. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. But He loves to heal too. And we are told to pray for healing. So our Heavenly Father cares about His children. But we are not promised physical health. Nowhere are we guaranteed that every one of us will be well all our lives, never be sick. Well, you know, you got to get sick to die. And all of us are appointed once to die and after this to judgment. Some of the greatest saints have been those who suffered severe illnesses. I've met some of those saints in over 50 years, about almost 60 years of pastorate work. I've seen some of these dear saints who have suffered so much. But it seemed to just made them sweeter than ever before. I didn't know how they handled it, but they knew how they handled it through trusting the Lord. Paul, who had healed many in Jesus' name, prayed three times concerning a health problem that he had. All we know is that he says it was a thorn in the flesh. But God replied in 2 Corinthians, or getting back to 2 Corinthians here tonight, chapter 12 and verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God says, is made perfect in weakness. Our weakness is an opportunity for God to show His strength. And for many years, it wasn't all that difficult to preach the Word because your mind's clear, your good health, why, it's not so difficult. But when you get older and wearing out, it's a whole lot more difficult. But there are a lot of things the Lord have taught you that you try to communicate to people with your handicap. But our weaknesses are made strong through His strength. Thank God for His strengthening power. And I have to depend upon Him more than ever before. Paul mentions that Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. He says that he had been sick nigh unto death. Well, here's one of Paul's companions. He's been sick, almost died. God in His mercy must have spared his life. We don't have anything else to tell us about what happened to Epaphroditus. But he was sick nigh unto death. And Paul, who had in the pagan lands healed the sick over and over again, couldn't heal himself. And couldn't heal Epaphroditus. Only the Lord can heal in accordance with His purpose. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20 that he left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Why didn't he heal him? Why leave the man sick? If you are a faith healer, because he had seen many people healed through his ministry, well, healing was a miraculous gift to be used for special purposes. It's not God's will for everyone to be healed. And it's a special gift of God. Actually, in all the gifts, This is the only gift that is plural. It says the gift of healings, plural. I believe each healing is a gift of God. Not a faith healer, but a gift that God gives from time to time to His children. So, the gift of healing was not meant to be the means of keeping Christians in perfect health. It was bestowed for a purpose. And in Jesus' ministry, and the ministry of His disciples and apostles, they were sign gifts to prove that God was in their midst in the person of His Son. That He had not only the ability to heal the sick, He could even raise the dead. And even Lazarus, who had been dead for 3 days and began to stink because of the corruption that had set in. And thank God, when He does see fit to heal, I know that that means a lot to the person that's healed, but it's not always His will to heal. It's His will that we go to be with Him in His time. Today, most charismatics teach that God wants every Christian well. And you don't find that in the Word of God. Our main concern should be spiritual health. I'd rather be spiritually well any day than to just be concerned about being physically well. Thank God for the spiritual health that He gives. Notice again, 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And then the purpose. In order that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And a little while ago when I used that same verse, I emphasized its aorist tense. Past tense. Completed action in the past. He doesn't say by His stripes you will be healed from your sickness or disease. He says by His stripes ye were healed. He's speaking to Christians, to Jewish believers. Ye were healed by His stripes. So He doesn't say you will be healed physically. He says ye were healed, referring to spiritual healing, pointing back to the cross where our sin-sick souls were healed. Now, the charismatics often use this verse to support their strong emphasis on the gift of physical healing. Now, what is meant by the word heal in the context of this verse? There is no mention in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 of physical healing. It doesn't say a thing about physical healing. Or in the immediate context, nowhere in the context is it speaking of physical healing. This verse says that Christ bore, notice, our sins. He bore our sins in His own body when He died on the cross. And notice the purpose in order that, it's a purpose clause. I mentioned to you before when the Lord really opened the Word of God to me, one thing that He impressed upon me and I followed down through the years. I went through the whole New Testament, and sometimes I find one I miss, but I looked for hina clauses. You know about hina clauses by now. You've been around. I look for hina clauses because they're purposes. I want to know the purpose for which God does something. And here is the purpose. The purpose is, did He die on the cross? In order that we should live unto righteousness, not unto good health. Jesus didn't die so that I'd have good health, live a long life. If He sees fit to give me enough health to live 81 years a long time, I'm thankful for the years that He's given to me and hope that they have been fruitful for His glory. So, it's not that we should live into righteousness, that is, that we should live into righteousness, but not unto good health. Now, I heard Benny Hinn, I guess you've heard of him, say on one occasion, on TV, that Christ's blood was shed for our sins and that Christ's body was broken for our sickness. Now, I don't know where he found that because it doesn't say that in that passage of Scripture. Christ bore our sins in His body. He bore our sins, not our sicknesses. And this is a reference to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now notice, but he was wounded for our health. No, brother Randy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That is, transgressing the law, the holy law of God. He was bruised for our iniquities, our self-willed sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And the healing he's talking about here is spiritual healing in each one of these instances. Isaiah was not talking about physical healing. He was talking about spiritual healing. Well, here's a problem passage. What about Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17? When the evening was come, they brought unto him, that is to Jesus, many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits, that is the demons that are spiritual beings, with his word, and healed all that were sick. So here's a case where Jesus cast out the demons out of the people, and he also healed those that were sick. Then he says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, that is Jesus himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So, well, looks like that's one of the purposes for which he died. It was. Why? Why? Infirmities and sicknesses are the effects of sin. And in dying for our sins, he dealt with the results or the problems that we have because of sin sickness. Jesus Christ endured vicariously our sins and their consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. You've got to get sick to die. You don't get sick, you're going to live on, but everybody's going to get sick and die. Sometime, they'll be sick and die. So, Jesus Christ, Isaiah prophesied, would endure vicariously the sins that are our sins and the consequences of sins, which are sickness and death. Now, we still have a problem with sin. Christ died for our sins, but we still sin, don't we? Christ died for the effects of our sin. He died for our physical problems, but they're the effects of sin, and we still get sick, don't we? We still sin, but we still get sick. And then he died for the effects of sin called death. The wages of sin is death, but we still die. So it's not saying that Christ in his body bore our diseases, our sicknesses. No, when Christ died, he died for our sins. And by dying for our sins, he provided for the problems we have because of sin, and that's sickness and death. Now, these will be permanently removed when our bodies are redeemed at the rapture. Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, we need to understand that we have been saved spirit. Let me put it this way. Christ, when he died for our sins, and we put our faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord, we're saved from the penalty of sin or the guilt of sin. That's regeneration. We're saved from the penalty of sin. Secondly, now with the Holy Spirit living within us, we are saved from the power of sin. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we're filled with the Spirit, we are saved from the power of sin. But only when he comes again at the rapture will we be saved from the presence of sin. When he comes to take us to be with him in heaven, I'll tell you, all the sicknesses will be over because we'll receive a new glorified body. That body will then be fully redeemed and made sinless and perfect and without any sickness, throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Won't that be wonderful? We suffer a little bit in this life. Life is brief. I'm realizing how brief it is. It sure gets away fast. But thank God, our eternal life, when Jesus comes to take us to the Father's house, and when He redeems these bodies, we're going to live forever with our Lord, with no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. Because He died for our sins. He took away our sins. And with death to our sins, thank God, ultimately, there will be death from personal sin and from sickness and from death. So, there is healing in the atonement, but only universally so at the rapture of the church. The false teaching concerning faith healing is found in an excellent book. John MacArthur has written a book entitled The Charismatics. And I want to share a few illustrations from this book with you to see the falsity of the charismatics who teach that it's not God's will for anybody, any Christian, to be sick. He writes, first of all, about Robert Freeman, who believed that God had healed him of polio, even though one leg was shorter than the other, and he walked with great difficulty wearing corrective shoes. In the mid-60s, fascinated with faith healing, he joined the charismatic movement. He started Faith Assembly in Claypool, Indiana, known as the Glory Barn. Well, this isn't the Glory Barn, but he had a Glory Barn. Church services were closed to non-members. What did they have to hide? And his congregation rejected medical treatment, believing that it was an extension of ancient witchcraft and black magic. To submit to it, was to expose oneself to demonic influence. Robert Freeman died of pneumonia and heart failure. I'm sorry, but the Lord said His word. It's appointed unto man once to die. He died with pneumonia and heart failure, complicated by an ulcerated leg on December the 8th, 1984. So sad that he was fooled himself and fooled so many. He refused to acknowledge his infirmities, that they cost him his life, for he refused treatment for these ailments that were killing him. Now, another one that he mentions is William Branham, father of the post-war World War II healing revival, who had been instrumental in some of the most spectacular healings of the movement has ever seen, died in 1965 at the age of 56 after suffering for 6 days from injuries received in an automobile accident. So here he has an automobile accident. He doesn't believe in Christians being sick. He died, and then his followers thought he'd be resurrected. So they waited for him to be resurrected. But he did not. It never happened. Another one that John MacArthur mentioned is A.A. Allen, the famous tent evangelist and faith healer. He died of cirrhosis of the liver in 1967, having secretly struggled with alcoholism for many years, during which he was supposedly healing others. Well, he sure was missing the spiritual healing, wasn't he? If he was still dependent on alcohol rather than the Spirit of God. The famous faith healer, which I'm sure just about everybody has heard of, was Catherine Kuhlman, who died of heart failure in 1976 after having battled heart disease for nearly 20 years. But she didn't believe that Christians should be sick and died herself. Oral Roberts, the famous faith healer, said that the Lord appeared to him and told him to build a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there at Oral Roberts University, that would blend conventional medicine with faith healing. It stands open today. It didn't last very long. Some faith healers say that God wants to heal all sicknesses. And if you aren't healed as a Christian, it's because you don't have the faith to trust God. What a guilt trip to hang on a person when he is not healed. I couldn't tell a person it's not God's will for you to be healed. If you don't get healed, you're to blame because you don't have enough faith in the Lord. I have faith that He can lead me, that He can heal if He wants to, or He can use a doctor if He wants to. And I've got several of them taking care of me now. I have a hard time keeping up with them all. Looking forward to Dr. Jesus taking care of me once and for all. Some equate sickness with sin. Some blame demons for sicknesses. Some use slaying in the Spirit to heal. Now, where in the Word of God do you find slaying in the Spirit? I wonder where they got it, and I heard from one person that where they got it is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the temple guards and the Roman soldiers came out to arrest Him, that when He spoke to them, they fell over backwards, or forwards, I don't remember which. They fell on their faces before Him. Well, that was Jesus, that wasn't Benny Hinn. I remember one time seeing Benny Hinn on TV. He was in this huge auditorium, and he went, well, I'm glad you all didn't fall over. the whole congregation just about fell over. Where do you find that sensationalism in the Word of God? Some claim to have the gift of healing. Some use miracle prayer cloths. You've heard of that, I'm sure. Pat Robertson, I've seen him do that a number of times. He peers into the TV camera as if he can see into people's living rooms, and he describes people who are being healed. So-and-so has a gallbladder that is giving him trouble. He needs to be healed. So-and-so has this, and so-and-so has that. While it's hard to say, prove it, because that person is, unnamed person is way someplace else, and he's on TV trying to describe sicknesses that he sees people have out in TV land. Benny Hinn seems to think that physical healing is the most important ministry he has to do. Well, what about miracles and healing in the New Testament? They were temporary gifts in the New Testament time. You don't hear of people raising people from the dead today, but Jesus did and the apostles did in the early New Testament times. They were temporary sign gifts, just like tongues are temporary sign gifts, given to certain believers for the purpose of authenticating God's oral revelation before the Scriptures were written. You will find history will tell you when the Scripture was canonized, the New Testament Scriptures, the sign gifts disappeared for many years. Once the New Testament canon was completed, the sign gifts were no longer needed and they ceased. Now, disease and death are universal. They are the results of original sin. A person doesn't get sick simply because he's committed a sin, although he can get sick for committing a sin. But all sickness can be traced back to original sin, because when Adam sinned, death came into the world. And so sin came into the world, and through death, through sin also came death. If so-called faith healers have the miraculous ability to heal, why don't they come out of their churches and TV studios and go to the hospitals where the sick are? Boy, they could have a great time. Greenville Mara Hospital would really be, they might be put out of business if they go in there and just pray for them and they all get healed. The reason is that they don't possess the gifts of healing. So they exercise their professed gifts in a controlled environment according to their schedule. I remember when I was just about 17 or 18 years of old, of age, my folks had built the University Park Motel. Which, that was back in 1947. They opened up in 48. And at that time, when I was going to Bob Jones, I stayed home as a town student for a year. And there was a healing evangelist by the name of Jack Coe. I believe it was C-O-E. And they were staying at our motel. And this is the truth. I know because I saw it with my own eyes. His associate had a Buick, but he had a Cadillac. Jack Coe did. And when they'd go to the tent meetings at night for the healing campaign, they would take the Buick because people might not understand him driving a Cadillac. Well, Benny Hinn drives a Mercedes. Cadillac isn't quite good enough. He drives a Mercedes. But anyway, they said people might not understand him driving a Cadillac. Well, one day, my mother got a call at the office that a woman wanted to talk with Jack Cole. So the man came into the office, and my mom must have been sort of nosy. She listened to the conversation that was going on. And this woman wanted him to come and pray for her husband or some member of the family who was sick. He said, well, he couldn't do it except when he was in the Spirit. He was only in the Spirit when he was in the meeting, a tent meeting. And so she said something about she had a gift she wanted to give him. He said, well, I'll send someone out to pick up the gift, but didn't offer to go to see the man. And so I was thinking about these healing that take place on the TV. Remember, a lot of those programs are videotape. Boy, that'd be something if you buy some of those videotapes and use them to heal people, wouldn't it? Because I never have heard of a videotape healing someone when people see the videotape. Now, charismatics aren't the only ones who claim the power to heal. Roman Catholics claim the power to heal. They have their shrines that people go to and tell about being healed. There at a statue of the Virgin Mary or some saint. Also, there are charismatic Catholics, believe it or not. Then two Oriental psychic healers claim that they can heal by bloodless surgery, waving their hands over afflicted organs and saying incantation. I've seen that on TV before. Witch doctors claim to heal the sick, you know, the shamans. They believe they can heal the sick. Mary Glover Patterson Baker Eddy, who was married a few times and was the founder of Christian Science, claimed to heal by telepathy, just thinking that power of mind over the sickness. And then there are spiritualists who are endowed with the gift of healing by Satan, demonized people who have the power to do satanic healing. So turn on your TV almost at any time of the day and you can see some faith healer promising to heal you from a distance, even if the program is videotaped. Now, there are apparent healings of unverified diseases. Somebody says that they have a cancer. How do you know they have the cancer? Or if they have some other illness, you just take their word for it. They are unverified. And there are different ways that people apparently have healing. I remember when I was pastor at Honeypath, we had a Christian doctor in town, John Taylor, who called me one day and said, Pastor Joner, he was a real fine fellow, a friend of mine. He said, there's a lady that lives on the Mill Village. There was a Mill Village there in Honeypath where I pastored. And she just sick all the time, but she's not really sick. Says, I give her sugar pills and she thinks she gets better. When I know the sugar pills don't do a thing for her. I know her trouble is spiritual and emotional. It's not physical. I would appreciate it if you'd go and talk with her about her need of the Lord, because she wasn't going to any church. So I went and visited in the home and talked with them, not about her sickness. I talked with her about her need of the Lord Jesus. And she and her husband made a profession of faith. And it's wonderful. She got healed physically because she didn't have any physical problem. The psychosomatic illness was gone because the Lord Jesus came and gave her spiritual healing. And that met the needs of her life. You know, there is a power of suggestion. There are psychosomatic illnesses. But we know that it's not the Lord's will to heal everyone, especially when healing comes. It comes to those who know the Lord. Now, have you seen any completely blind persons regain their sight? Jesus healed a man who was born blind. And the crazy thing that the Jewish people asked, did this man sin or did his parents that he'd be born blind? Well, if he was born blind, how could he commit a sin? He was born with a sinful nature, But he couldn't sin, being born blind from birth. And yet Jesus healed a man who never had seen at all until Jesus healed him. Have you seen a genetically sick child, such as my grandson Matthew, be healed? We had a precious little grandson, Matthew. Nobody ever had more prayer for him than he did. Our missionaries, our people all around prayed for him. He was born with a genetic disease called, it was a form of microdystrophy, infantile. I can't think the full name. But anyway, he was just a happy, healthy little child until he was 15 months old. And then all of a sudden, he started going downhill. He wasted away to almost nothing, paralyzed, never could talk or walk. And my dear daughter Kay took such good care of him. And he died when he, I believe, was 15 years of age, 13 or 15. And died at when they were up with us for Christmas that year. And there was enough prayer offered up to him. And he saw all the best doctors he could. But he had a genetic illness and was not healed. And above all, have you ever seen a dead person brought back to life? I remember when I was in Lawrence, my first pastorate, there was a little service station out in the country near where I was. And we had a hermit who was predicting that Jesus would come again in 1989. Now, this was back in the 50s, but he was going to come in 1989 and it was going to snow red snow. He was had a little missing up here. The elevator didn't go all the way to the top. And so he was out at the service station. The man owned the service station. I had witnessed to him many times, never did come to know the Lord. But said that this hearse pulled up into their little station and they were getting some gas, wanted to get some gas. And so this hermit went out to put the gas in the hearse, and he was real superstitious. And as he's putting in the gas, he was looking in the back of that hearse, seeing what was back there, and he saw a man stretched out on the back of the hearse. He wasn't in the casket, just stretched out there. And all of a sudden, the man got up, sat up and said, "Where are we?" They said that fellow threw the gas hose up in the air and he took off for home as hard as he could go. He thought he'd been raised from the dead, but he hadn't. Have you ever seen someone raised from the dead by some faith healer? Not one of today's faith healers can produce irrefutable proof of the miraculous healings they claim to have wrought. Now, why do people get sick? Because of universal sin, all people get sick and die. Some sicknesses come from God. In Exodus 4:11, God said to Moses, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" God makes us the way we are. And a lot of people are born with physical and mental ailments. Some sicknesses come from Satan. Look at the case of Job. Satan afflicted Job. God had to permit it to prove that Job was serving the Lord, not just because the Lord was so good to him. But we find in the story of Job, one of the mysteries of Satan being allowed to afflict a man of God. And then in Luke 13, verse 16, Jesus said concerning a woman bent double with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and whom he healed, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Paul identified his thorn in the flesh as the messenger of Satan. That's hard for me to understand. Here, the greatest Christian and preacher the world has ever known. And yet, the Lord allowed him to have an affliction. Now, what I believe it is, I looked up, tried to figure up dates and time, and Paul was stoned at Lystra. And later on, he wrote about he knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And that the dates match up the best I can tell to that list of occasion. I believe that listed Paul was stoned to death. I mean, this is my opinion now, but I believe he was stoned to death. And the Lord miraculously raised him up because he was left as dead and the next day was back preaching. There had to be an instantaneous healing in that case, so far as he could keep on preaching. But I believe that Satan caused those people to stone Paul. And so he identifies it as a messenger of Satan. Sometimes we bring sicknesses upon ourselves by wrong diets, bad habits, or behavior, such as lung cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, caused by profligate living. Sometimes a person is sick because of God's chastening for personal sin. Remember, Miriam was smitten with leprosy for 7 days because she murmured against Moses. Remember, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, wanted some money from Naaman the leper who had been healed by Elisha, and sneaked off and asked for some money, and Elisha, God revealed it to him, and he was smitten with Naaman's leprosy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 to 32, warns about eating the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And if you do, that there are those who are weak and sickly, and many sleep or are dead because they dishonor the Lord's body. When sickness comes, it is wise to check for unconfessed sin, because there could be sickness because of some sin we committed. And with confession of sin and praying in faith, there can come healing. Some sicknesses, however, are for the glory of God. The man born blind, when Jesus was asked who sinned, the man or his parents, he said neither. But for the glory of God was this man born blind. And then in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, you have the raising of Lazarus. Jesus didn't go in time to heal him. He came when he'd been in the grave 3 days, in the tomb 3 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Someone said if he hadn't said Lazarus, that all the graves had been opened because of his mighty power. Well, in closing, what is the biblical plan for healing today? Well, turn with me in closing to James chapter 5, if you will. I'm thankful our church knows about this and practices it. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults. That word for faults is harmatia in the Greek. It means sin. Confess your sins one to another, and pray one for another, and then to purpose, in order that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So notice, if you're sick, you should pray. The sick person is to pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Then, hopefully, they feel led by the Lord to call for the elders. If the Lord doesn't immediately heal him, when they pray, call for the elders. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And, of course, the sick person is to be a believer. The Lord's not busy out here healing unsaved people, but this is designed for people who know the Lord. He's to call his elders. Why the elders? Well, they're not some evangelist that's in town for a week, folds up the tent, takes off, claiming that a lot of people have been healed. It wouldn't have done them any good to go there. The elders know us. They love us. And they can help us to see maybe if there's some reason why we are sick. And encourage you to seek the Lord. Lord, is there something in my life that's unconfessed and unforsaken that might hinder my being healed? It doesn't say call the faith healer. It says call your pastor and the elders of the church. Call for the elders. And they can personally counsel with you. And he is to deal with any sins. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your sins one to another. So if there's sin, it needs to be confessed and forsaken. And then the elders can pray. And there are two things. Everything Jesus did, he did in power and authority. Power and authority. The oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit lives within the believer. Oil is put on the head, and the elders pray. And we trust the Holy Spirit to do a healing work if it is indeed God's will. And he gives us the prayer of faith. And then the authority, we pray in the name of the Lord. So the oil is represents the power. The name of the Lord represents the authority. And the prayer of faith. If the Lord gives us that prayer of faith, there can be healing. And we've seen many healings over the years. Not that we claimed anything for. The Lord does it. And he does it in answer to prayer. And in answer many times to the confessing and forsaking of sin. And then notice, not only is the individual to pray, not only are the elders to pray, but the church is to pray. It says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another in order that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what then? After you've done that, if God so leads, go see the doctor. He may be leading you to go see the doctor. Because this is not some sign he's seeking to do. It's a loving Lord wanting to minister to his people. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And remember, Dr. Luke accompanied Apostle Paul, who had ailments in his missionary trip. And I'm sure that he used his medical abilities. Why is there all this emphasis upon physical healing when spiritual healing is what really is important in the light of eternity? Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And he said again in Matthew 5:30, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of your members should perish and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Because we are sin sick, we need to go to the great physician, Jehovah Rapha, for our spiritual needs first and foremost. Thank God he can heal physically and emotionally. But most of all, we desire his spiritual healing. And thank God for our blessed Jehovah Rapha. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that this will be an encouragement to all of us to not seek the advice from the doctors first, but to seek your will first. Lord, we know you do use medicine. You do use doctors. Thank you for Christian doctors who devote themselves to ministering to people and especially to your people. Thank you, Lord, for using the doctor in Pastor Cook's life, this Christian doctor that spared his life to where he could continue to serve. He was sick. He needed a physician. But also, he sought the Lord first, that the Lord would do a healing work in his body. And he did through the use of a doctor. We're thankful, Lord, for your healing power. But most of all, to heal us, our sin-sick souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand? The great physician now is near, the sympathy.